Ever looked at a website and wondered how it goes from, just basic text to something visually stunning? All those colors, layouts, the whole look and feel. Today, we're doing a deep dive into the magic behind that. Cascading style sheets, CSS. We're going to explore what it is, its advantages, how the rules work, and the different ways you actually put it on a web page.
Exactly. And hopefully by the end, you'll really get why CSS isn't just about looks, but it's, well, fundamental to how the web works. It's kind of a shortcut to understanding modern web design.
Okay, let's unpack that. CSS, it sounds powerful. What is it exactly, and why was it such a big deal when it came along?
Right. So before CSS, styling was often mixed right into the HTML content itself. Imagine like changing the font on every single paragraph tag
Yeah.
across a huge site. A nightmare.
Oh, I can picture that. Tedious doesn't even cover it.
Totally. So CSS came along to separate that structure, the HTML from the presentation, the style.
Yeah.
It's the language that tells the browser how things should look. Fonts, colors, spacing, layout, everything.
And the advantages, you mentioned consistency.
Huge advantages.
Yeah.
Yeah, consistency is massive. Change one style rule and it updates everywhere, but also smaller file sizes, which means faster loading pages, less bandwidth usage,
Right.
and just huge time savings for developers. It brought this real efficiency and a sort of single source of truth for design. That was revolutionary.
Okay, that efficiency makes sense. But how does it actually work? How does CSS tell the browser, make this specific text blue or put this image over here? What are these style rules?
Good question. So a style rule is basically the instruction, and it's two main parts. First, the selector.
The selector.
Yeah, that points to what HTML element you want to style, like maybe all paragraphs or just one specific box.
Okay.
Then you have the declaration block. That's where you say how to style it. It contains property value pairs.
Property value, like color dot blue.
Exactly like color blue
Yeah.
or maybe font size.
Yeah.
16px. The property is the thing you want to change, like color, and the value is, well, the value like blue.
Got it. So the
Yeah.
basic structure is selector property dot value.
Yep, that's the core syntax. Selector, then curly braces, then your property value pairs inside. Pretty straightforward once you see it.
Okay, so selectors tell CSS what to style, but how do you get specific? How do you say just this one thing versus all things like this?
Ah, right. That's where the different types of selectors come in. Mastering these gives you that fine-grained control.
Okay.
There's the universal selector. That's just an asterisk. It's like a broad brush hits everything on the page. Use with caution.
Right, sounds dangerous.
Can be. Then you have type selectors. That's just the HTML tag name itself, like P for paragraphs or H1 for main headings. That styles all elements of that type.
Okay, pea color dot green styles all paragraphs green.
Exactly. Now, for more control, you use class selectors. These start with a dot, like dot highlight. You add class highlight to any HTML elements you want, and that rule applies only to them. Very reusable.
Ah, so you can group things visually, even if they're different tags.
Precisely. And then for targeting just one unique element on a page, you use an ID selector that starts with a hash symbol, like hashtag main logo. An ID should only be used once per page.
So ID is super specific, class is reusable for groups, type hits all tags of that kind, and universal hits everything.
You got it. And that leads to this idea of specificity, which is basically how browsers decide which rule applies if you have conflicting styles.
Yeah.
IDs are usually most specific, then classes, then types.
Interesting. Okay, so you've written your rules, you know how to target things. Where does the CSS code actually go? How do you connect it to the HTML?
Right, three main ways to do this. First is inline styles. You use the style attribute directly inside an HTML tag, like p style color dot red.
Quick and dirty for one specific thing.
Yeah, exactly. Good for testing or a
Yeah.
very specific override, but it mixes style and content again, which isn't ideal.
Okay, what's next?
Second is an internal style sheet. You put your CSS rules inside style tags, and those tags go directly inside the head section of your HTML file.
So, contained within the HTML page, but separate from the main content elements.
Correct. Good for single page websites or maybe unique styles for just one page.
And the third way. You mentioned a gold standard earlier.
Ah, yes, the external style sheet. This is generally the preferred method,
Yeah.
especially for larger sites. You write all your CSS rules in a separate file, usually ending in .css.
A totally separate file.
Yep. Then, in the head of your HTML document, use the link tag to link that external .css file to the page.
And the benefit there is.
Reusability and maintenance. You link the same CSS file to multiple HTML pages. Want to change the site's color scheme? You edit one CSS file, and boom, the whole site updates. It's that separation of concerns principle.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, wow. So we've covered quite a bit what CSS fundamentally is, those key advantages like efficiency and consistency, the structure of style rules with selectors and declarations, the different types of selectors for targeting, and the three ways to actually implement it, inline, internal, and external.
We did. It's the foundation of styling the web. But, you know, thinking about those three methods, inline, internal, external, it raises a deeper question. Yeah. Beyond just how it looks. How do you think that choice where you put your CSS might actually impact things like website performance, how fast the page loads, and how easy it is to manage and scale a really complex website in the long run?
That's a really good point. Performance and maintainability, depending on where the styles live, definitely something to think about. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive today. We hope you feel a bit more clued into the power and structure behind web visuals.